remain standing. Grab your Bibles. Luke, let's act normal, church folks, now. Remain standing for the reading of the Word of God. Luke chapter number 5. Now, I need to tell you something as you're turning to Luke chapter 5. Hit the ground running today in preparation for tonight. 8 o'clock in the morning, was in the office, just diving right in, getting ready to give you a word tonight. Because we're studying the miracles of Jesus. And you get what you preach.
That's right.
So we're expecting to see some miracles. More miracles. Greater miracles in this place. And I began to dive into this, and 7 hours into it, I was going to talk about violent miracles. I was going to talk about that there's no such thing as a witness without signs, wonders, and miracles. I was going to talk about this story of the fish and God's supernatural power over the fish. And I was going to talk about how in Jonah, God spoke to the fish, and He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we get into Luke chapter 5, He's still talking to the fish. I went into the history of it, of the Sea of Galilee, what the size of it is, how there's 4,000 ships in that sea at any time. I was going to preach. Oh, it was going to be good. I was going to talk about the prophetic significance of the drought of the fishes according to Matthew chapter 13 talks about the prophetic significance of what we're about to read and how it's a prophecy of the last days. It's a prophecy of the last days, what we're about to read. And it's good. I wanted to talk to you about the prophetic implications of how in John 21, with the same miracle, 153 fish were caught, and they counted them. And why did they count 153 fish? What's the symbolism of 153? Why'd the Bible even say it? Has to do with the heirs of God is what it has to do with, but we don't have time to get into that. Because 7 hours into it, the Lord jumped up in my spirit and said, 7 hours into it, the Lord jumped up in my spirit and said, nope. Look at your neighbor and say, nope. Because He knew you were coming. And He said, I got to get a word in their spirit and in their heart. And 7 hours in, my wife tried to text me and said, I want something. I said, I can't help you. I'm in crisis over here. 7 hours into this thing, and God's going to start the whole thing over. And God has given me a word to give to you from this tonight. And I'm here to tell you the glory's on the way. The glory of God is coming to your house. And I'm not talking about the glory the way you think of it. I'm talking about the glory of Solomon is coming to your house. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Are you in Luke chapter 5? If you're not, you're probably never going to get there. Luke chapter 5. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, everybody say, nevertheless. At thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they closed a great multitude. Enclosed a great multitude of fishes. Fishes is the only, King James is the only place where you can get away with saying fishes. And their net, look at this, what happened? Broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled the ships so that they began to sink. When Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astounded, and all that were with him, and at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not. From henceforth, you shall catch men. Father, we come before you tonight, anxious and ready to hear the word of God that you have for us. As a matter of fact, God, we rejoice in it beforehand, knowing that it's going to be good, knowing that we're going to get a miracle, knowing that healings and deliverances will take place ahead of time. In fact, right now we put our hands on the shoulders of the person next to us and we say, receive in the name of Jesus your breakthrough. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord with a great big shout of hallelujah. Tonight, I am not just going to teach you, although I'm sure there's going to be some of that. There's about to be an impartation. There's about to be a shift in the Holy Ghost, because I got a word for you. The glory's coming. There is about to be a release of the glory of God and the provision of God, and we have learned your belief does not matter. Your reaction is what matters. Your belief in God changes nothing. Your reaction to God changes everything. What that really means is belief is just, okay, I mentally assent to the fact, but faith is action. Faith is responding to the Word of God. There is change in reaction. He's changing our reaction when we're talking about the Word. We're not going to wait till we get home. When we hear a word that strikes a chord in our heart, we're going to shout. We're going to glorify the Lord. We're going to give Him praise. And if we're sitting next to someone who is, and we don't know why they're praising, it doesn't matter. We're one big happy family. I'm just going to shout with them. If God impresses upon my heart to get to the altar, bless God, I'm getting to the altar. If God impresses on my heart to sow a seed, I'm going to sow a seed. If God impresses on my heart to speak a word, then I'm going to do it under the direction and the authority of the house. But God is changing our reaction because there is change in reaction. Now, the reason why I'm saying this is because the Lord, listen, I've got to repent to you, and I'm going to be as transparent as I can possibly be. I have to repent to you. Over the past year, this church has received the greatest revelation concerning giving that I have ever seen any church receive over the past year. And in that time, I have spoken on finances, I have spoken on prosperity around 2 times. Now, some of that is because of the divine season God had us in, but I have to tell you that I have to repent to you before God, because a lot of it has to do with the pressure to not talk about this subject. People don't want you to talk about it. And so as a result, there have been times when my imperfect self, now if you thought I was perfect beforehand, I'm so sorry to shatter the conception of who I was. I am imperfect. And the pressure, I'm telling you, you can't even begin to imagine the pressure that a minister goes through anyway, because we're scrutinized the moment we stand up. How we're dressed, how we act, how we walk, how we talk, whether we're wearing a ring, whether we're wearing a watch. If we're wearing a watch, what kind of watch is it? Is that too expensive or is it too shabby? And we get up here and we start talking and he's too exuberant or he's too quiet. And I wish he would teach more. I wish he would preach more. And I wish they would talk about salvation more. I wish they wouldn't talk about salvation so much. Or I wish they'd do this and I wish they'd do that. And you get up there and you realize that there are some battles you just get tired of fighting. And I can tell you the greatest amount of persecution I've ever received, and that is saying a lot, has been in regards to finances and prosperity. The greatest persecution. And I have been to Pakistan. More persecution in regard to this than any other area. But the Lord spoke to me today, 7 hours into this, saying there is a change coming. I am about to bring a drought into your ministry, and I'm about to bring a drought into the homes of those who are connected with you. There is about to be an overflow and a superabundance that you will not have room enough to receive it. Hallelujah. You are about there as God has renewed even in my spirit. It's time to start believing for big things personally again. For 10 years, I've been believing for big things for my church. And God said, it's time for you to start believing for big things personally again. There's a renewal taking place, and God is about to release abundance into this house. In fact, here's what I want you to write down if you're taking notes. This is what jumped up out of my spirit. Here it is. Are you ready? Fish come first. You'll understand it in about an hour. Fish come first. Say it with me. We have been putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable, and we've been trying to seek after miracles, and we've been trying to seek after signs and wonders. You are not going to get miracles. You are not going to get signs and wonders until you put fish first. Fish, this miracle of the drought of fish was the inauguration of the ministry of the disciples working with Jesus. And it was also the inauguration, when we get into John 21, of the church of Jesus Christ. I'm going to walk you through it tonight, but I didn't even see it. After spending years of study and then taking an extra special amount of time over the past few days to get this information compiled together, I didn't see it until the Lord removed the veil 7 hours into today in preparation to getting you into this building. You're about to get a revelation that's going to move you, and your life is going to be changed. Something is changing in your life today. The secondhand mentality is going to be destroyed today. The idol of lack and greed and want and need is going to be torn down today. You are not going to have to serve mammon after today. There is going to be a supernatural trust of the abundance of God for your life, and it's coming today in the name of Jesus. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, there's a drought coming. Say, fish come first. Now here's what I'm trying to say. Fish come first means finances come first. Fish comes first. Write this down. Money before miracles. This is going to revolutionize how I see everything. Fish come first. In fact, open your Bible real quick. Real quick. Let's go to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter number 2. Bring up Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 17. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. You believe in this message here, Brother John? You believe in it? I'm telling you. You get a $100,000 swing in your financial situation, you'll believe it. I'm believing for it to spread. I'm believing for six-figure miracles to become commonplace in this house. Believing for it. Lamentations, here's what it says. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace, so that I forgot prosperity. That's where we've been. We give it lip service, and we may mention it now and then, but we've forgotten, not prosperity for prosperity. I'm talking about the gospel. We have forgotten the gospel. We have forgotten prosperity. In fact, keep your place there in Joel chapter 2 and go to Luke chapter 4 and verse 25. Are you there? But I tell you of a truth. Now stop. Now, he said, Lord, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is... Now, truth, we're talking about the gospel now. I'm telling you about the gospel now. As a matter of fact, look at what he says in verse number 18. Up there in your Bible. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He hath anointed me to what? Well, guess what He's doing down here in verse 25? Preaching the gospel to the poor. And verse 25, He says, I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, whatever it is, a city in Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Now stop. He is now comparing his message. He's saying, look at what the gospel is like. This is what my gospel is like. It is just like when Elijah went to that widow woman and said, bake me a little cake first. He said, this is the gospel to the poor. It's the same thing as when Elijah went to that widow woman and said, I know you're starving, but bake me a cake first. And if you will, your barrel of meal will not waste, nor will your cruse of oil run out of oil. Overflow. That's the gospel. And all them, now here's the reaction, that were in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him under the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, and that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way, and came unto Capernaum, the city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Everybody said, the gospel to the poor. Now, are you ready to go to Joel? As you're turning there, bring up Psalm chapter 35, Psalm 35, 27. Because just in case some of you are having trouble grasping this concept, this is the gospel to the poor. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, now look at this instruction here. Let them say, every once in a while they allow the preacher to preach about it. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. Well, how's he going to be magnified? Which has pleasure in the
prosperity of his servant.
Somebody say, I'm his servant.
I'm his servant.
Say me. God takes pleasure in my prosperity. Now, the Bible says that God doesn't have any pleasure unless there's faith involved. So he's not taking pleasure in your prosperity unless you're standing in faith, believing for. So God takes pleasure when you believe, I'm going to prosper. Takes pleasure in it. Glory to God. Let's see. Look at Joel chapter 2. Are you there? Say, fish come first. I don't even know if I should get to this yet or not. I feel like I just need this. I feel like I just need to keep convincing you that it is the plan and the will of God for you to prosper. No, hold on. No. Look at 1 Kings. Look at 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10. You ought to be this excited to read a verse when you're at home on Monday afternoon to get to your word. Oh, I got to get to it. 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10. And verses 4 and 5. Why not? And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit. She fell out. She fainted when she looked at the servants of Solomon. The Bible says in Matthew, there is now one greater than Solomon. His name is Jesus. And he calls you not servants, but he calls you friends. And I'm telling you, God is about to bring people to your doorstep to see his glory by looking at what he's done for you. The world is about to lose their spirit. They're about to lose their spirit and faint under the... John said it himself. He said when he opened that check in the post office, he could hardly... I remember I was 20 years old, and I was sitting in a service, worshiping in a service, as a matter of fact, giving God praise and glory. On the 42nd row, nobody knew who I was, but I was believing. I'm telling you, I was standing there and said, God, in the name of Jesus, today is my day for a miracle. I refuse to leave this place without it. I'm getting a breakthrough through favor, through something. I got to have this thing taken care of, but I thank you, Lord, it is done. And I was praising, and as I was praising, somebody walked up to me and put a piece of paper in my hand. A check in my hand. I'm 20 years old. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a minister. I'm just a praiser. That's all you got to be. And I'm sitting there, and I didn't even see what it was. And I'm telling you, God is my witness. Now, I can count. Very few times have I fallen underneath the power. I've determined to stand under the power of God. But that time, it knocked me back about three rows. I looked in there. It was a check for $5,000. 20 years old. Working at Chick-fil-A. Your occupation does not determine your destination. It doesn't matter whether you're retired. It doesn't matter whether you're making part-time, whether you're part-time or whether you're making minimum wage. You don't need the government to raise the minimum wage. You just need to raise your faith. God is about to do a miracle that's going to make the world lose their spirit. And he said there's one. In fact, if you'll study Matthew chapter 6, we'll not do it right now, although I'm really tempted to do it, because I could be here for about 10 hours right now. It's quiet now. It says that God clothes the lilies of the field and provides for them more than he provided for Solomon. And then it says in Matthew chapter 6, how much more? God didn't promise to give you more than Solomon. He promised to give you more than the lilies of the field, which have way more than Solomon. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Write down Genesis 13:2. Just write it down. The Bible says that Abraham was very rich. Now, are you ready to go to Joel? Joel chapter number 2. Well, while they're turning there, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9. It's going to take you a while. Joel's a small book. I know y'all having trouble finding it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9. I'm telling you, it's time for you to launch out into the deep. I hope some of you are hearing me in your spirit. It's time to launch out. It's time to go out because there's a great drought of fishes waiting on you. Fish, I said fishes. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, remember the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth thee power. Didn't say he'd give you wealth. Said he'd give you power to get wealth. Didn't say he'd give you wealth. Said he'd give you the power to get it. Now here is what he says here. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. This is not speaking of, first of all, this is not talking about his poverty here on this earth, because he wasn't poor here on this earth. It's speaking of the poverty that was experienced on the cross. No man was ever poorer. And that poverty on the cross provides riches for you. It's the gospel. Joel chapter 2. Say it's the gospel. The same gospel that saved you from hell is about to bring you out of debt. The very same gospel that provides peace to your soul is about to provide prosperity and overflow in your life. And it's not coming from the source you think it's coming from. Joel chapter 2, verse number 28. If you're there, say yes. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days, I will pour out my spirit. Say, that's the miracle. That's what we're seeking after in the body of Christ, signs and wonders and miracles. And there's nothing wrong with that, but we have gotten everything backwards. We have gotten the cart before the horse. If you will look there at verse number 28, you'll see something very interesting. It says, and it shall come to pass, say it, and it shall come to pass what?
Afterward.
Now wait a second. Afterward, if it's coming to pass after something, if you're seeking it, you're missing the boat. I want to know what the root of it is. So what's it coming after? Now look. Verse 23. Same chapter. We're just backing up, seeing what came before. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and with oil. Everybody say, that's the gospel. And I will restore unto you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the pommel worm, my great army which I sent among you. And look at this, verse 26. You want to know when the Holy Ghost is going to come? You want to know when you're going to get a miracle? You've been believing for healing. And can I tell you, the reason why you've been held back from receiving the healing is because you've been burdened down in the area of the finances. And it is sucking the faith out of your spiritual life. Fish come first. Fish come first. As a matter of fact, if you want to know the very first thing that God ever blessed, it wasn't man. It was fish. Look it up in your Bible. The very first thing, Genesis chapter number 1, you'll see when you study. He creates the land, He creates the sea, He creates the sun, then the moon, and the stars. And the very first thing He blesses is fish. Why? Because in the fish, you have the abundance of humanity. Fish represents the abundance of humanity. Fish represents a supply. God supplies before there's a need. So because He wanted to bless man, He wanted to make sure He blessed the fish. And do you want to know the first thing when He created man that He told man He had dominion over? Fish. The source of supply. Why do you think Peter and them were out there fishing to begin with? Why do you think they were out there fishing? Now, don't get your religious mind out of wherever it is. They were out there trying to get dinner. You don't need a fleet of ships out there to try to get your two fishes, your fish sticks for the night. They're not out there trying to get dinner. What are they? Why are they out there? What are they trying to get? Money. And Jesus says, if you'll just lend me your time and put your focus on the gospel instead of on money, if you'll just do that, I'll give you more than enough. And then at the end, look at what He says. I will make you fishers of... They weren't... Now, we think that that's talking about saving souls. That's not what it's talking about. You know, they didn't catch the fish to keep it in the Christian aquarium and feed them and take care of them. They were catching the fish to use them to get money. Now, God sends us out to preach the gospel, and He sends us out to minister to the lost, and He sends us out to do that. But what He's doing here, He says, listen, don't worry about having to get your income from fishing, because when you embrace My call for your life, a call for you that is so supernatural in nature, it will require the miraculous on a daily basis to perform. When you embrace My purpose for your life, then I will cause men to give under your bosom and supply for you the way the fish did. The first thing man had dominion over was fish, and fish was the first thing that was blessed. So you got authority and dominion over the very first thing that was ever blessed. Now, verse 26. And you shall eat in scarcity. Just enough. How many of you ever have to push your plate back and said, I've had plenty? You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And listen, you want to know where praise really comes from? Being satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you, and My people shall never be ashamed. And then you shall know when you have eaten and have stepped into plenty, when you have been satisfied, when you have been filled to the full and are overflowing, then you shall know. My people are destroyed for this lack of. But then He says, after you have eaten and are full, after you have been satisfied, after there is an overflow, I will pour out My Spirit on all flesh. Why? Because He wants you totally enveloped in Him as your source before He begins to flow through you in the miraculous. Now look, go to John chapter 21. Everybody say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. We're just about, we're in the last chapter of John, right? Anybody know what the next book is? Do we have any Bible scholars in the house? What's the very next book? The book of Acts. That's right. Good job. The book of Acts. One of my favorite books. The book of action. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. part two of Luke's gospel. Good stuff, book of Acts, isn't it? That's when in Acts chapter 2, we see Peter says, this is that. But I thought that couldn't happen until afterwards. And I don't remember anybody ever teaching me that they had an overflow of abundance. That's because ain't nobody ever taught you. I didn't know it till today myself. But if you think about it, Jesus is gone. He's been crucified, resurrected. It's been 50 days since his resurrection. Right? When we get to Acts chapter 2, it's been 50 days since his resurrection. They've been 50 days without a job. 50 days without income, as far as we've been taught anyway. Now, let's cut it down just to be reasonable. They're definitely 10 days because Jesus stayed with them for 40 days in and out. You know, he'd appear and disappear and they didn't know who he was. He'd show up to them on the road to Damascus and they just thought he was a weary traveler. He showed up to Mary Magdalene and she thought he was a gardener. He shows up in John 21 and they think he's just a wanderer. Because we're always missing the supernatural by looking for the spectacular. The resurrected Christ doesn't look like what you think he looks like. To the point that they couldn't even recognize him. They've been with him for 3 years. And so it's been now, he's gone up in heaven. They know he's gone now. And it's been 10 days that 120 of them are sitting around in the upper room. 120. Now, how many of you at this point in your life, even in the age of credit cards, which they didn't have back then, and refrigerators, which they didn't have back then, could sit back and say, I'm going to take 10 days of unpaid leave, and I'm just going to sit and we're just going to sit around and we're going to talk for 10 days, and it's not going to affect me financially at all. So how in the world have they spent the last 50 days sitting around, and especially the last 10 days? Because something happened before he left. Jesus always takes care of his people. If there's one thing we see from the miracle of the drought of fish, it is that he cares about your everyday operation and occupation. He cares about your everyday needs. He wants to supply all your need according to his riches and glory. In John 21, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon, Peter, and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. Sounds like he's from Stanley County, doesn't it? And they say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Everybody say, all night. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they said unto him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. Now I suspect that at this moment, they think it might be him. They've experienced this before. And then when he says, cast your net, they're about 130 some yards away from the shore. It's dark. It's hard to see. It's hard to hear. But they're starting to get a hint that this might be him. They had been gathering together, you understand, for a while now. And Jesus would appear. He'd appear right in the middle of the room, even when the doors were locked. And just show up and say, hey, let's have dinner. He would. And he'd appear and then he'd disappear. He'd be out talking to somebody else and dealing with somebody else and doing something else. And then he'd reappear again. And here they have this man on the edge of the shore. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. And now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. It was so big they didn't even attempt to get it into the boat. God's about to give you a blessing that's so big that you're not even going to have to try to get it into the boat. You're just going to try to drag it to the shore. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fishes which you have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net of the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus said, come and dine. Here we have a comparison and contrast of two parabolic events, teaching events. We have Jesus in Luke chapter number 5 with a draught of fishes. He's standing in the boat. And then we've got in John 21, we have the draught of fishes and he is not standing in the boat. In that comparison and contrast, we see in the Gospels, he needed to be with them hands on, but now he doesn't need to be near you. You just need to hear him. And so Peter does not need to know it's the Lord. He just needs to hear it's the Lord, and that's enough for him. And now at this point, he is so matured, he doesn't need to walk on the water. He doesn't need to know for sure if it's him. He's just jumping in the water. He doesn't care if he falls in. If he walks in the water, he's getting to Jesus. Do you see how his mindset has changed? He's not concerned about the miracle. He just wants to get to Jesus. Lord, it's not this. We're away from this. Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And Peter starts walking on the water. Now, he doesn't need to know if it's him. He just needs to hear it might be him, and he's in the water. That's the way you ought to be in your spiritual life. Are we having service or not? Well, I don't know. Well, I'm going to be there waiting just in case. Nobody shows up, you're not offended. You just stand out here and glorify the Lord yourself. Hallelujah. Now, look at what happens. They have a great drought of fishes. 153. So much so, they had to drag the net. Now you know how they spent all that time without any finances. They weren't without finances. Before the Spirit of God fell, God made sure they were full and they had plenty and they had more than enough. And afterward, He poured out His Spirit on all flesh. Oh, isn't that good? The miracle of the drought of the fishes shows us that our cup runneth over. That's King James 4. It's still running over. Given, it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Running. Everybody say it's running. It's running over. It is out of control. That is the miracle of the fish. And in this miracle, in both occasions, both times, in Luke chapter 5, we see Jesus is revealed as the Messiah. And in John 21, we see that He is revealed as the Messiah. In both cases, we see this miracle, above all others, reveals who He is. When He walks into a struggling business and gives them more than enough, that shows us who He is. And He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Job 36, 11. While they're turning there, pull up Psalm 66 and verse 12. Are you seeing it? Fish come first. Finances come first. Money before miracle. Why? Because it is the lowest common denominator. It is the lowest form of prosperity, and you have to start there. If you'll start there, everything else falls into place. But it is the proving ground of the heart of humanity. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And so through the tithe, through first fruits, through alms, and through seed, we are proving the hearts of men. Not we, God is proving the hearts of men. And when He sees the heart of man in action, not in theory, in action, through those four areas, He then is able to move on to greater things. But He says, if you cannot be trusted in unrighteous mammon, how can you be trusted with greater things? And He says here, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the water, but you brought us into a wealthy place. You're about to come into your wealthy place. No more restrictions, no more bondage, no more. It is disgusting. How do you think your Father, your Heavenly Father, looks upon a single mother or anyone who's going through the grocery store on a budget, having to figure out what they can get and what they can't get? How would you feel if that was your child? You'd say, listen, just put that in the cart. And now if you being evil, no, let me back it up. Because right there in Matthew, I believe it's chapter number 7, He says, if you ask your Father for a fish, He's not going to give you a stone. Everybody say fish comes first. And if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your heavenly Father? Everybody say more.
More.
Glory to God. Wealthy place. Are you in Job 36? Job chapter 36 and verse 11. I'm ready to see houses paid off. Totally paid off. In the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, the reason why you're struggling to get a miracle in some other area of your life is because you have been burdened by the enemy. The spirit of mammon has come in, and it is tying up the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches is choking the word from manifesting itself in your life. We've got to put fish first. Job 36, verse 11. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Every day in prosperity. Every day. Don't have to ask. If I see a need, I don't have to think, well, what kind of bills do I have to have paid here? If I'm standing in the Walmart shopping line, not that I would be in the Walmart shopping line. I hate grocery stores. If I'm standing in a shopping line somewhere and see somebody in front of me with a cart full of groceries, I want to be able to say, I got that. The Lord told me to pay for that for you. Now that'll do a whole lot more than you saying, turn or burn! Well, this is $300 worth of groceries. Here's 50 extra, just so you can go take your family out to dinner. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. You shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. And I have come to the place, and I pray that you are too, where I am putting my foot down and saying, not one more day, not one more minute, not one more hour in lack or in debt or in want. I am going to enter into my wealthy place, and I'm going now. I'm not waiting another day. I want it right now. Last verse, Psalm 118. Get ready. Open your pockets. Open them up. Dig a ditch. Prepare for increase. Now's the time. And I believe we're going to see a greater percentage of people who get a hold of this than we ever have before. Hallelujah. I like services. People just start taking off watches and handing it to people. And people start, hey, these shoes look like they fit you really good. Here's a pair of shoes. And people just start blessing one another. He likes my tie. Well, you see a brother in need. Now I like this tie, brother. This is not alms. Alms is cannot be public. It's a seed. It's a seed. Amen? Yeah. I like this tie too. It's fancy. Receive. That's what you say too. Learn how to receive. Is everything... I'm a mess, aren't I? I look like a crazy person. Does it look all right? Okay. Yeah. Hundredfold. You know, we had a service here not a while back where a minister, no doing of my own, he said, come and sow into your pastor. And the first few people came up and I said, thank you. And you know, the Holy Ghost came up in me so strong, he said, don't you say thank you. I said, what? This is while folks are blessing me. Don't you say thank you. They're not the one giving it to you. I am. You say, I receive. Now, this is where pride gets in the way. On both sides. Because when you get a gift, you want thank you. If you need a thank you, there's pride there. Are you giving it to them? See, we ought to take the human part out of the equation entirely. I'm not receiving from you, I'm receiving from God. And I'm not giving to you, I'm giving to God. You see that? And so we ought to learn in our vocabulary in the house of God to say, I receive. Look at your neighbor and say, I receive. In the name of Jesus, I receive. Not thank you, because you're not the one doing it. You're not my source. God is. And whether you gave it or not, He was going to get it to me. Amen. Psalm 118. Last verse. Maybe. Let's look at verse 23. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day. Oh, I'm waiting on somebody to get that. This is our day. Today, right now, we're drawing a line in the sand, right now. This is our day, right now. I know it's hard to believe in the backwoods of Red Cross, North Carolina, we could have a moment like this. But I'm telling you, right now, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice, and we will be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now prosperity. You've been quoting, this is the day the Lord has made, your entire life. You didn't even know what He was praying or saying. He's saying, this is the day that God sends prosperity. Now is the time. God, I'm not waiting another moment. Now. Send it now, God. I receive prosperity now. And those prayers went past Him into the next generation when He gave birth to the wealthiest man to walk the face of the planet, Solomon. Send it now. That's where we're headed. Where we understand how to pray and what to pray for. We would pray for wrong things. Don't need healing. You need prosperity. Then prosperity makes room for you to believe for anything. The Lord is changing our reaction. Now, Father, we're ready. We've tilled up the fallow ground of our heart, and we're ready. We say from this moment on continually, the Lord takes pleasure in my prosperity. We say from this moment on that we will not worry about our bills or where it's coming from. We cast the care of it all over onto You, for You care for us. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same God that created the fish was the same God who spoke to the fish, was the same God who commanded the fish to go into the net, and it is the same God today who's going to bring abundance into our lives. There is a drought of abundance coming to us, and we receive it in the name of Jesus. Now lift those hands up to heaven and love on Him. Thank Him. Now, Lord, what would You have us do tonight? Our mindset has changed. We're not looking for a miracle. We're looking to be a miracle. And You said You give seed to the sower. And You give bread to the eater. And so we want You to know tonight that we're sowers. We want You to know that we're givers. And that we are a free-flowing agent for Your abundance to flow through. What would be pleasing to You tonight, Father? What would bless Your heart? What would cause heaven to stand to attention? Like Cornelius, like Hannah, we desire for our seed, our first fruits, our tithe, our alms, to be a blessing to Your kingdom. Let the Lord be magnified in this place tonight, in the name of Jesus. Now, I want you to get your gift ready in your hand, and when you're ready, I want you to bring that offering down here, and I want you to lay it on the altar. Lay it on the altar. Get a seed in your hand. Love on the Lord. Like that young boy with the two loaves and the fishes, lay it down here. And the same God that multiplied it in the water, He'll multiply it in the basket too. In the name that is above every name. Hallelujah. We prepare our gifts, and in doing, we prepare our heart to receive from You. Now, you can come and bring your seed. Come and bring your seed in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come sow. Come sow. And say, let the Lord be magnified, which takes pleasure. Which takes pleasure in my prosperity. Takes pleasure in it. This is not a one-night thing. This is not a thing where you get emotionally stirred up. This is a lifestyle change.
Glory to Jesus.
Before, their problem was not catching any fish. Next, their problem was what to do with the fish when they got it. You're entering into your wealthy place now. Make wise decisions. The gospel is a gospel of overflow. So get yourself in a position to start believing God for it everywhere. And you start with the fish first. Say, fish are first.
Fish are first.
Amen. I'm just jump in. That's all I'm saying. Just jump in.